We ask, how can these things be? Jesus asks, how can you not know this? Ah, we hear this story today of the Pharisee Nicodemus, and we have some antipathy for him because he's a Pharisee. And our lens tends to read all Pharisees as hypocrites and antagonists of Jesus. Still, I think we also cut Nicodemus a little slack because although he's a Pharisee, he does come to Jesus recognizing that Jesus is a teacher sent by God. And there are things Nicodemus wants to learn. But then, we have contempt for Nicodemus because he's so dense. He doesn't understand what Jesus is telling him about the Spirit. We stand there asking, how can you not know this too? Or maybe just a little part of us isn't so contemptuous, but is rather maybe a little abashedly standing right there with him with wide eyes looking at Jesus as Nicodemus asks, how can these things be? Our understanding of our life in the Spirit, like Nicodemus's, is usually unconsciously constrained by the culture and time and circumstances we live in. We may be a little bit condescending about Nicodemus's Pharisaical understanding of the world and of the law, but in our time, in this very material culture, and a culture with so many ways that we divide ourselves and other each other, we too can find that we're having trouble accepting and understanding what Jesus says. Because there's so much that we really don't understand either. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you don't know where it comes from or where it goes. There is mystery. And we're generally not comfortable with mystery because isn't certainty better? Nicodemus as a Pharisee, and some Bible translations have him as a member of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leading council. He would be an expert in the law and the prophets. He would be certain about every letter of the law with strict observance of both written law and the traditions that were passed down. Certainty mattered. And the Gospels, aren't they full of people wanting certainty? I think about the rich young man who asks Jesus what he must do to have eternal life. And Jesus says, you know the commandments. And the man presses, I have kept those. But he wants acknowledgement and he wants to be certain. And so Jesus says, sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me. And the man goes away sad because he had many things. Certainty wasn't as attractive as he expected when he couldn't just follow the laws. And so too the Pharisees who were affronted by Jesus healing the paralyzed man. John's gospel says they started persecuting Jesus because he was doing such things on the Sabbath. And they were certain that work on the Sabbath was prohibited by law. An Orthodox website I looked at over the weekend lists 39 categories of Sabbath work that are prohibited by law. The Pharisees would have been certain of every such detail, and then some. So, are all those details certain or not certain? If it's not certain, how could their authority be as absolute as they held it to be? That's a problem. Certainty gives authority. Certainty gives rigidity. Certainty upholds categories. Certainty also helps us feel safe to exert some control in a world full of chaos. We too can become too attached to being certain about our teachings and our outlooks. But Jesus breaks into the certainty of mere law, and he talks about being born in the Spirit. When Nicodemus is astonished, Jesus says to the man of religion, "How could you not know about this?" The Johannine scholar Sandra Schneiders points out what marginalized communities have long known and lived, that those who are privileged by any social system tend to see that system and its products as self-evidently total and adequate. But those who have been marginalized by the system can see its inadequacies precisely because it does not include them. Sound familiar in today's America? And Jesus was among and beside those that the system did not and does not include, showing us what transformation in the Spirit looks like on the ground, feeding, healing, forgiving, listening, including. Jesus asks Nicodemus how he can be a learned teacher of Israel but not understand what the Spirit is up to. And for us, doesn't being born in the Spirit mean a transformation of mind and heart and soul? Doesn't everything Jesus does upend buying into the systems of privilege of the world for bringing us into the kingdom of God? We say kingdom of God, and we tend to automatically think Jesus is talking about heaven. But you know what? Heaven was already fine. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. We are trained to hear, and some have wielded these words as a weapon. We're trained to hear them as a purely eschatological statement about right belief getting you into heaven. Jesus came to change the world, this world, and he did it among the marginalized and the excluded. God so loved the world. Nicodemus was astonished at this language of the Spirit, but of course it's the Spirit that prodded him, as it prods us, to seek out Jesus. Even if for Nicodemus he came under cover of darkness for fear of censure from the religious system of power that he was privileged by. And transformation in the very presence of Jesus, it was bound to happen. We see Nicodemus two more times in the Gospel of John, reminding the Pharisees that under Jewish law, Jesus should be granted a hearing before he's condemned. And then ultimately, this man who first came to Jesus under cover of darkness, he brings 100 pounds of myrrh and aloe to help out at Jesus' burial. Transformed in the presence of Jesus. Are we Christians, people of religious systems, or are we Jesus people transformed in the Spirit? We certainly can be both. And I say that with prayer as I stand here in my clericals, right? But religion is tamer than the Spirit. Even religions that get crazed in their rules, they're tamer than the Spirit. You never know when the wind of the Spirit is going to be a hurricane. Listen to Nicodemus's first anguished cry, "How can these things be?" But even wilder, you never know when the wind of the Spirit is going to be a whisper. And you don't want to miss that. Despite our systems, despite our clawing for certainty, as author Sarah Miles writes, none of us can control what God does, but we can open our eyes and see what God is doing. That's how being born of the Spirit changes everything. That is what God is doing. We give up our need to prescribe our own certainty, our need to be boundaried and bordered. We're held in something deeper. And this is Jesus asking us as Christians, "How can you not know this?" And so he tells Nicodemus, and he tells us, this is the love of God so loved the world. Know that we are born of the Spirit into that expansive kind of love, a new world, the kingdom of God. That's the certainty to have. That's why this is such a powerful gospel for us to read today on Trinity Sunday. The Trinity, it's a mystery that we can't make concrete and certain and defined. Poetry and metaphor may come closest when we think of the divinity of the Trinity as a community of self-giving love. It is a love that we are invited into, participating in, with God, our Creator, Jesus, who has our flesh, the Spirit who is within and among us. God created humankind in God's own image, right? Genesis 1. And the Trinitarian God who made us is all about relationship. So we are made in the image of a self-giving, loving relationship. We may be more comfortable with a God whose image looks just like me and not like you. We may be more comfortable with rules, even rules we chafe at, because we can huddle in certainty there and we can keep other people outside. The God who is relationship, the Trinitarian God who is a community of self-giving love, that's harder. But isn't loving relationship better? Isn't relationship what is true wildness and our true shelter? Lord, if there's anything this year-long sequestering and isolation and quarantine made so clear, it surely is that. Systems and teachings will never adequately describe the relational Trinitarian God, but the Spirit moves us into that self-giving love of relationship with God's self, and therefore with each other. How can these things be? The God who so loves the world answers, "You know this.